You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I hate how much you love acting crazy. Tell everyone we're dating, then break up with me daily. I hate how much you love acting crazy.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 11 of That's Awesome. I'm Joe. Josh is here with me. Hey Josh.
Hey. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm, you know, alive.
Good. So Josh and I have been on a call together for almost 2 hours now interviewing a future guest. But today, we're going to be featuring Tyler Young from the band Make Out. Tyler and I have known each other for almost 10 years now, when we were both not in bands that were really doing any substantial touring at the time, because we're from the same area. I followed his career. I'm so stoked to see where it has gone. And like, it's interesting because I think you'll hear in the interview, they're a band that has had a lot of speed bumps, but has continued to always... I don't know how to necessarily say this, because it's not necessarily that they've gotten bigger or anything, but they've managed to keep the faith behind them from the people that matter, which is really important. And because of that, they have some really cool stories, and I think they have a huge future ahead of them. I'm really excited to see where it goes. Yeah, interesting though, right, Josh? It was like,
yeah.
If you hear the things that he's saying, like who they're working with and what they were doing even a few years ago, it's like, wow, how isn't this band like everywhere?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, even just like, you know, their first like real full tour. Well, I think they only did 6 or 7 dates, but they were supporting Blink-182, you know, which is insane. So I think it's a cool interview just for the fact that like it's cool to hear a band that's doing all the work behind the scenes in prepping for the big thing. You know, like it's mm-hmm. very much like this is what we've been doing to get us to where we need to be, where we feel comfortable like being yeah. out there. So I think there's a lot of insight to be gained from this, and I even at one point, I think, said in the interview, like, dude, you've done like enough with this band where I'd be stoked to like have had those experiences, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I love just hearing about that kind of stuff. So yeah. Anyway, that's coming. I want to thank everyone again. We did get a few more donations in. If you would like to donate to the podcast and its guests, you can do so at thatsawesomepod@gmail.com. For those of you that don't know, I think a lot of people right now, especially musicians, many of who I have heard from personally about their concerns with this stuff, are making their – well, not even necessarily making their living, but are able to get by right now because of unemployment, which I don't think any of us want to be in that situation, but it has been helping. And right now, unemployment is – it potentially could get cut down pretty significantly in the next couple weeks, which has put a lot of my friends in a sticky situation because we can't really go and tour to make money, and it's not necessarily super easy to find any work right now also. So if you would like to donate to the podcast and my guests, you can do so at That's Awesome. I'm sorry. paypal.me/thatsawesomepod. So thank you for anyone that's donated so far. We've been donating
and wear a mask so they can play shows again.
Yeah, and please just wear a mask so I can come play shows. You know, the first show I'm supposed to play, when at least what's on my calendar right now, and there's no way it's going to happen, is in Florida. So like,
oh,
that's
geez.
Not happening. And that was going to be our biggest tour that any of us in this band have ever done. So needless to say, it's a bummer. And more importantly than me not even being able to play shows is making sure that all of you are safe and keeping other people safe too. So wear a mask, be smart, so that you can come see me when I put on scary makeup and play bass. Anyway, Josh, anything new? I always
not
feel
much.
Like dumb asking that question now because I know nothing is new.
Yeah. Well,
not.
I mean, I did. I started working again, which is kind of funny because I had the I had a job for like 9 months. I quit, and then now I'm going back to that job after like 6 months. So yeah. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But
is it?
Yeah,
is
so
it
I'm,
were they shut down at all, or is it now like reopened?
They were. I quit because there were some awful people there. And got another job. And so then I left that job and I'm going back because they fired the bad people. So it's cool.
Okay, sick. All right, well, that's good. At least you got that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I mean, let's not delay any longer. I will say I'm really excited about like the next month of interviews that we have coming up. Starting with this one, I think we got some really interesting stories coming up, and we're banking a lot of interviews right now too. So stay tuned. Share with your friends. I think we were talking about, and I'm going to say it here so we're forced to do it, Josh. We're talking about doing some sort of giveaway. I have to figure out what to give away, but I want it to be something, you know, related to the podcast or maybe something that maybe I can talk to some of the guests and see if they donate anything. I don't know. Maybe we can do that, like a package.
And if you have ideas, like DM us or whatever.
Yeah. Send a message to the Instagram. Josh will get it, and we'll discuss. But yeah, send us some ideas. And again, share with your friends, subscribe, rate, review. Thank you for everyone that's done it. And we'll send it over to the interview.
I wanted to be yours. I wound up feeling broken and lying on the floor. I wanted to feel whole. I wanted to feel whole. I wanted something real. I wanted something more. I wound up feeling broken and lying on the floor. I wanted to feel whole. I wanted to feel whole.
Yeah, Josh is like 10, so he doesn't know.
Yeah,
Bebop by
fucking
Hansen.
10. Thank you.
Damn, dude, I have like two cousins in Australia that are like 12 and 16, and they make me feel so fucking old, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's so weird, like, cause we're both like in the music scene, right? So
yeah,
I'm supposed to have my pulse on like the stuff that's popular and like. I don't know, like the trendy shit, right? And I am like constantly, constantly surprised by all of that shit. Like everyone makes me, dude, people in my own band that are older than me make me feel old, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm just so bad at like keeping track of it.
Right. You'd think because we're involved in it all the time that we'd be like, oh yeah, this band's like up and coming and shit. And
right.
Like all of it just like over my head.
Yeah, completely.
Then all of a sudden these bands get signed and I'm like, oh, I think I've seen that name once before.
Right,
like,
I know.
And now they're on Hopeless.
Every time there's like a new signing and people are pumped on it, I'm like, I just am always behind the ball. I'm going to make a like real effort to follow that stuff because I probably should just because
I feel.
That's what this podcast is.
Yeah, true.
So I probably should do that. But also, hey, dude.
What's up?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. Just let me know. I'm outside.
You're
this
fine.
Is the best place I can get away from the dogs.
It's
so.
Fine. Yeah, you're good. And I'll try not to keep you too long because I know it's hot out.
Nah, it's all good. I'm in the shade right now.
Okay, good. So look, let's start. First off, thanks for coming on.
Dude, thanks for having me.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
I'm glad that we get to do this now because you guys just released a single, so I want to make sure that you can promote that and stuff. But let's start, if you're cool with it, starting kind of back at the beginning, because we go back a long time. I don't know when we actually met. I want to say it was probably like 2011, 2010.
Who knows? Fuck. I joined Trophy Wives in, I don't even fucking know, 2013?
Okay, so it was probably 20. No, you, because I knew you before, I think, just because you were friends with those guys, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we probably met even before then, but, I mean, we played a bunch of shows together, and then you guys took us out.
Right. So that was Trophy Wives. Was that your first band?
No, I used to play, I played in some heavy bands like back in the day. Funny enough, I played with like Ice Nine Kills when we were playing like the QCC or the QVCC in
Worcester.
Do you remember that place? Yeah.
Yeah, like upstairs. It was just a big echoey hall and no band has ever sounded good in there.
Yep.
I remember actually seeing like way back playing local shows with like 4 Year Strong at the QVCC and not getting it. Like I had never heard them. And I was like, I don't understand why everyone's all into this band. And then I saw them we played with them a couple years later at a real venue where it wasn't just washed out and echoey and horrible. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, this band is fucking tight. Like, so, so tight. And their guitars are like machines. They're just so fucking tight.
And they sing, too, at the same time.
I know. It's nuts. It's like two Claudio Sanchez's, but chuggier, you know?
And then fucking, I remember, so my first band in like high school was called Something for Nothing. And that's the band we would have played with Ice Nine Kills and shit with. And then we played some show in like 2007 with, it was like a Halloween show in Revere at like a YMCA and Motionless and White played. And everyone was just like, I don't think these guys are dressed up for Halloween.
That's good. Yeah, I actually remember, it's funny because now I feel like we're just going to talk a lot about the New England scene, which I'm totally fine with. I remember when I was doing sound at Rocco's in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
They toured through Motionless and White, and this was probably like 08, okay, maybe 07, and I think it did 13 tickets.
Yeah.
And I remember that show specifically because they were so nice and like so stoked to just be playing a show in New Hampshire that I was like, wow, these guys get it. So that's interesting. But anyway, so we go back when you were in Trophy Wives, I was in Venetia Fair, and I think it was, we played so many shows together because we always made an effort to play with you guys as much as possible. Because we loved you guys. And then...
Yeah. And you hooked us up with Donovan.
Yes, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, we had Donnie as our booking agent for a little bit.
Right. And then that was... You guys did some touring with... I think you guys... Lions.
Yeah. Right.
And then... So this is the part where I kind of fall off a little bit. Because we were close. Our bands were together. You played our second to last show ever in Rhode Island.
Yep.
Which was a blast. And then I stopped paying attention because I wasn't in a band. And next thing I know, Makeout is opening for Blink-182.
Yeah.
So you got to fill me in on everything that happened in that space.
Yeah. So I guess where we start with that is we – so you know how they do the Ernie Ball Battle the Bands thing every year to play Warped Tour. So So funny enough, Trophy Wives, you know, won the Massachusetts slot. And that ended up being the old singer and the old guitarist's last show in Trophy Wives. So that's where I came on after.
I watched you guys that day.
Yeah, I wouldn't have played. I wasn't on stage. I was just hanging out.
Got it.
But it was their last show. Because what happened was, you know, the rest of the guys in Trophy Wives were ready to start touring for, like, real... and then the singer and the guitarist both had like, you know, the singer has a career in banking. The guitarist was in like grad school and stuff. So they couldn't commit to touring all the time. So that's where Sam and I came in. And that's kind of Trophy Wives 2.0, I guess, and that's kind of where our story starts. And so they won the local slot, and then what a lot of people don't know is that when you win the local slot, you kind of get put into this pool to go to, like, a national Battle of the Bands. So they pick four bands that won their local spots and fly them out to L.A. to play, like, the finals.
Oh,
and
there's, totally
like, a grand prize.
You posting about this. I remember this.
Yeah, so we played, you know, we played some shows, and then we found out that we were in the finals. So they flew us out here to L.A., and we played the Fonda Theater, and the Devil Wears Prada was the headliner, which was hilarious.
That's awesome.
well, it's just funny because, like, all the other bands were, like, kind of poppy compared to us, too. Like,
oh,
you
really?
Know, we were doing the easy core thing, so we were, like, the most aggressive band that was the finalist.
And then there was just a metal band closing.
And then there was a metal band closing, yeah, which is funny. But we didn't end up winning the whole thing. There's this band from, I think they're from Washington, called Night Argent One. But Feldman was one of the judges. So that's how we met John. So, you know, they announced the winner, and then John came over to us. He's like, hey, you guys are the Rhode Island boys. Like, what are you guys doing all weekend? You want to come stop by the studio? And we were like, fuck yeah. Because we were just hanging out in LA for the weekend. It was like all of the first time out here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, John invited us over to his studio.
What year was that?
Bunch. This would have been 2015.
Got it.
I think.
Okay. You know what's funny about that is I think he did, well, everything's kind of come full circle now, but I want to say it was 2013 that he asked Venetia Fair to come by his studio. Too.
Oh, no shit. I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah, so we went by his studio, and then I don't know what happened. But we never heard from them again, or that a whole group of people. And then now I'm currently going to his studio to record with. So it's big full circle thing. But that's crazy.
Yeah, so we met John, and he was kind of just like, you know, send me some demos as you're working on them. Let's stay in touch. And I think we probably sent him 30 something demos over the course of like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then finally he was just like, all right, let's do a record. Let's go.
That's
and then
sick.
Probably like a month later, we were out here in LA. We were out here for a month doing The Good Life. And that would have been 2016.
Right. So let's slow down for a second, just because I don't know. I want to make sure people know who John Feldman is and why he's actually relevant to talk about. So Feldman is currently the singer of Goldfinger, and also just how I don't even know how many platinum albums he has that he's produced, but it's insane.
It's wild because when we walked into his studio for the first time, I'm just looking at the plaques on the wall, and it's just all these bands I grew up listening to, the Used, Story of the Year.
Yeah, it's you know what was interesting is I was talking with someone yesterday about working with Feldman, and I didn't even realize, like, way back when he started producing and he was doing Story of the Year, the Used, all those bands, right? He was also a writer, and he did like a large portion of writing on that that Good Charlotte album.
Oh yeah, yep.
I had no idea. And then since then, what has it been like? He does 5 Seconds of Summer. He has one OK Rock. So he has Blink. Blink, obviously. So he has writing and production credit on so many massive pieces of music. I think that 5 Seconds of Summer album went number one in over 20 countries or something.
Yeah, something like that. He's got a ton of plaques from them.
Yeah, it's nuts, and it's a different experience working with him, but it's definitely very cool. And that's when you guys released that album with him. That was with Rise.
Yep.
Right. And I remember that I think that music video you shot was everywhere for Crazy.
Yeah.
It literally was just everywhere.
Yeah, it worked out pretty cool. So the reason we ended up, so our first shows ever as Makeout were with Blink, which is like the craziest
thing. Wild. And was that all Feldman?
Yeah, so Travis was involved with writing like Crazy and a couple songs on the record, which is how we made that connection there. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up taking us out for like a week. We played some shows with them, and that was really cool. And then, so it was awesome, but sucked at the same time. We didn't have anything for people to find us after afterwards. Like, we'd go on stage and we didn't have any music out. We didn't have anything out. We had some shirts and stuff, and we were like, yeah, follow us on, you know, Instagram. Right. But we don't have any music that you can listen to.
Yeah. But what an experience, though, right?
Like, oh, that dude, must have been it was nuts. Wild. Yeah, there was one night in particular that stood out to me. It was Kansas City. And because what usually happened was, you know, doors would open and an hour later we played. But Kansas City, and most of the venues were outside as well.
But yeah, Kansas City was, right?
Kansas City was inside in an arena, and we played an hour and a half after doors opened. So having that extra half hour just packed so many extra people in there. And that was just wild.
Yeah. How was the responses?
It was awesome. I mean, still to this day, we see people commenting. They're like, yeah, you know, we saw you at your first show at Blink and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, some people managed to still hang on since then, which has been really cool.
That's great.
I didn't expect it at all.
I was so pumped for you guys when I saw that. Because I know you probably remember, but I had always, not necessarily like making fun of your band, but poking fun at your band, saying that you were that.
Too smiley.
So smiley. In the happiest band I've ever seen. Like, no one looks like they're having more fun playing than you guys did ever. And I still believe that. And I've referenced it like with other people.
Too funny.
Yeah. It's so good. Like, watching your band play is even if you're not into the music, is just fun because you can tell how much you guys are having fun. And the music is just so fun too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what we go for. You know, it's just high energy. We are having a good time, so we want everybody else to have a good time. So that's kind of just what we do.
It works. It totally works. So let's talk. So I know Sam left the band. Singer left the band. How long ago was that? A couple years ago?
Yeah, it was like last January, so a year and a half.
Year and a half. And that kind of, was that like a dead stop?
Yeah, pretty much. So when we went to record with John, we ended up having like 20 songs at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So 12 of them came out on The Good Life, and we still had all these other tracks that were really strong that we really liked. So we were going to release an EP of 6 of them. And we shot 2 music videos for them. We had an EP ready to go, 2 music videos ready to go, and then Sam was like, I'm done.
Wow. And that was just, he just didn't like touring, right?
Yeah, he was just over it.
Yeah.
Which I get.
Yeah, totally. It's not for everyone. Yeah, yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, I know people do this. They have this idea of what it's going to be like to get on the road and go tour and drive around with your friends. And then they realize when you start doing it that you're broke and you're in a small space with 6 people that you thought you would get along with really well for 3 months.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and like, there's of course going to be, in any situation when you're stuck with people for that short amount of time, there's going to be tension sometimes. But I mean, I just think that lifestyle, it is challenging. It's not like you have to really want it, you know?
Yeah. And that was coming off of, you know, 2018 was our busiest year that we had ever done. Because we went out for 2 months with this band Icon for Hire in the spring. Then we were on all of Warped Tour that year. Mm-hmm. And then we went out with Cute Is What We Aim For in the fall. So we were gone for 6 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And that was the first year that we'd really done that much touring. And not only that, I think Sam's breaking point was Warped Tour. Because we got a lot of flack for the song Secrets that we put out. And it really hurt. Like, it really hurt Sam specifically, because, you know, it's like an acoustic track where it's just him, so a lot of people put the blame on him for that song.
Oh, I remember that song. That was that just the acoustic, there was a music video for it.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
it was one of the singles.
Wait, was this the Catatonic Youth's one?
Yeah.
Is that, we can cut all this out too if you want.
No, it's cool. I mean, it's part of the history.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I actually didn't hate that song.
Yeah, so it was funny. Like, it came out and for 2 days it was cool. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was like Catatonic Youth that posted it or like something happened where everything just like flipped.
And people just turned on it.
Oh yeah. And what really sucked is that we said no to releasing it like 800 times.
That sucks.
And our hand got forced.
So you kind of knew that it was
Yeah.
like cringy a little.
Yes.
I thought the melodies in it were great, though. Like, it was catchy as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and some of our diehard fans to this day say that's their favorite song, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but we knew it would be polarizing. And we said no to putting it out like 800 times, and it still got put out as a single, and it just fucked everything up. But so I think going on Warped Tour and being so like in the scene where all the drama happened, I think really took its toll on Sam. Because, like, I mean, even our merch dude went and sat down with some guys at, I'm not going to name any names, but he went and sat down with like another band at lunch one day at Warped Tour. And they started talking, and he mentioned that he was doing merch for us, and they all got up and moved.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. So, you know,
that's
it was just
fucked up.
Yeah. So it was tough, you know? And so, and like I said, the video and the song was just Sam. So Sam got a lot of flack for it.
Well, I was going to say, even outside of that video, I can understand a singer being demoralized after Warped Tour. Like, Warped Tour, it's a grind. It's hard. And, like, it's not, especially for vocalists, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think it was I don't think he was, like, exhausted from singing or anything like that. I think it was just, like, the mental, like, we always knew we were.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like a mental exhaustion. Yeah. It's just the same thing every day. And also just having to, like, I think it's, the reason I said singers particularly is I think mental stress does a lot for your voice. You know, and if you have to focus so much on, you know, keeping your instrument up to a standard, then in that environment, I think it just takes its toll.
Yeah.
And like that on top of what you're saying. Yeah. It's a lot. So Sam decided it wasn't for him, and it kind of just plateaued for a bit, right?
Yeah. So he told us while we were on the Cutest What We Aim For run in the fall, he's like, look, I don't want to do this anymore. And we had like a short little 10-day headliner run that we were doing in January 2019. He's like, look, like, I'm over this. I'll do the headliner run, but after that, I'm done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was nice enough to, you know, we already had announced and booked the other headlining run. So it was nice of him to, you know, be considerate and the fact that, you know, he was going to do the last run and that was going to be it.
Oh, that's good.
So that was nice. We appreciated that.
Sure. And that was a headliner, you said?
Yeah. Got it was like 9 or 10 days, something like that.
Okay.
It was just like the Northeast.
Right.
And then, yeah, so, and we didn't have a full time. So we had a fill-in basis for Warts. We had a fill-in basis for Cute. And then when we did the headlining run, we just did the three of us, Scott, Sam, and I. Because we didn't have a full-time bassist. So after Sam quit, it was just me and the drummer, me and Scott.
Right.
And we were like, shit, well, what do we do now?
In some ways, that must have kind of, I mean, obviously, I think it's scary and uncomfortable, but I think it, in some ways, that could be positive, though, right? To kind of regroup and rebrand and with just two people. It's just much easier to get on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. It was nice because it was kind of like, all right, well, this is in our hands. What do we want to do? Mm-hmm. And then funny enough, shortly after Sam quit, so our new bassist, AJ, used to be in a band called Sleep On It. And so we hung out a bunch at Warped Tour. And then I went and saw With Confidence right after Sam had quit. And they were like, hey, what are you guys doing about a bassist and singer and all that? And I was like, actually, you know, a bassist hit me up. And so WithCon had told AJ to reach out to me about joining. And so AJ reached out to me. And yeah, it was just funny.
That's
so
great.
AJ just kind of fell into our lap.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, well, we have a bassist now if we want it.
Right.
So now we're just missing a singer.
Yeah. And you guys did some kind of contest and stuff, right?
Yeah. So we didn't have anybody specifically in mind. And we were like, you know what, let's shoot our shot. Let's see if we can find somebody on the internet, which is, you know, crazy because you don't fucking know these people.
Right.
Let's see if we can find somebody on the internet who has experience, who's, you know, a great singer, a great front man, and let's see where it goes. So, you know, we had like 200 something submissions, which was really cool.
Wow.
And we narrowed it down to about, I think we narrowed it down to like 8. And then had a bunch of our fans vote on who they thought would be the best fit for us. And that kind of gave us an idea of who the fans were leaning towards. Yeah, it was just cool. You know, we met the top like three people I ended up like meeting and hanging out with just to like see how it felt and how it went. And then, yeah, Kyle just really, really stood out to us. He was really down to earth. His voice is fucking great. He's a great singer and he rips on guitar too, which we needed somebody that could play guitar and sing at the same time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the pieces all just kind of fit together. So then we found Kyle and it worked. You know, he's similar enough to Sam that he can still sing all the old stuff and it sounds right.
Yeah.
But he's got a different enough of a voice that, you know, the new stuff sounds different. So it's cool.
Yeah, I think the new stuff that, or at least the new song that you just put out, I guess that's the only thing I've really heard. It sounds great. He sounds awesome on it. And I'm really pumped to hear all the other stuff that you've been working on too. So, and I know there's a lot. So I guess this is kind of like a pivotal moment for you guys though, right? Cause it's like your comeback and.
Yeah. We're not on Rise anymore. So this, we're just putting out on our own. And the reaction's been great. We've been watching our streams climb up every day. I didn't know what to expect, because it's been so long since we put something out and it's been a year and a half since, you know, Sam quit.
It feels like it was even longer. It's crazy.
Dude, it does. But I didn't know if anybody was going to care, to be honest. It's been really refreshing.
It's going well. I think the song's a banger. And, the song is called Home. And you put it out, just a couple of days ago, right?
Yeah, we put it out on Friday, 2 days ago.
Sweet. I think it's great. So everyone go listen to it. And I'll probably feature it on this podcast too. It will be on here. And the new stuff, you're still working with Travis, right?
Yeah, so that was really cool. So our manager he knows Travis's engineer, Matt Malpass, really well. Through all that, we kind of ended up, you know, Travis kind of ended up hearing the demo versions of our songs and was like, hey, you know, I'd love to help out and you know, help you guys out with producing and get these songs sounding really nice. So we spent a few days in Travis's studio recording drums. I retracked a bunch of the guitars and bass and stuff. And he made a ton of changes to the songs and, you know, obviously it all for the better. And he even tracked a couple parts, like in the bridge part of Home. That's actually Travis playing.
Oh, really? Cool. Oh, that's really cool. I think that alone enough. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
Like to just say, like, oh yeah, my band, Travis Barker plays on one of the tracks. That's enough. You know what I mean?
It's pretty cool, man. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I was like sitting there on the couch next to Travis while Scott was recording drums, and I'm just like, how did I end up here?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, like the situations that you'll find yourself in, right? That's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean,
and not only that, but I tracked the guitars with Tom DeLonge's guitar, and I tracked the bass with Mike Durant's bass from Green Day.
That's crazy.
So it's like, I'm sitting here holding two guitars that are like legends.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how did this happen?
That's so cool, man. That's so cool. I mean, I guess that goes to show you, though, like you guys, obviously, I always had faith in your band. I thought you guys were like the best New England band for quite a while. And then what I love about your story is that it truly was just someone hearing it and getting attached to it and wanting to help, you know, it wasn't really like, I mean, I appreciate those stories of bands grinding it out and like, you know, that's like the Ice Nine story, right? It took so long for Ice Nine to, you know, establish themselves. But I love that your music was like, you know, that it was your music. Do you know what I mean? Like it just, it entirely came from someone hearing you guys and wanting to be part of that, which I think is really special.
It was really humbling too, to, you know, to hear Travis be like, yeah, I think these new songs are stronger than your old stuff. Where, you know, I did a lot of the writing on the newer stuff. So to hear somebody like Travis Barker, you know, praise my songwriting.
Dude, I think like the stuff that you even sent me before I thought was amazing. So you're definitely killing it. So keep that up. I'm really looking forward to more of Makeout stuff. Do you have plans for like future releases?
Yeah, so we have a music video for Home that's coming out in like a couple weeks. We figured put the song out, you know, get people remembering that Make Out's a thing, and then put a music video out to kind of help push that a little more. We have a few other songs that are done. And yeah, we're going to be releasing an EP eventually. I'm not sure the timeline on that yet. We're going to put out a couple singles first. But yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of in the same boat. We can release music, but can't really do too much. So.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, man. I also wanted to, I want to talk about your other project, because this is one that I don't know as much about.
Yeah, sure.
And that's Vantavoid, right? So
yep.
Tell me, I've only heard the one song that you guys put out, so I don't really know where it came from or what the, you know, what's the goal with it.
Yeah, cool. So I met the singer Frank through Twitter, funny enough. So he has like a pretty big YouTube channel, and he reviewed Make Out on his channel one day. So he like does these videos where he does like reactions to bands.
Gotcha.
Like, so a bunch of our fans like tweeted at him like, "Hey, review Make Out. And so in one of his videos, he included us, and that's kind of how I ended up starting to talk to him. And then one day last year, I think last spring, this is after Sam quit. So at some point in 2019, I tweeted, I was like, "Man, I have like a lot of pent up energy. Like, I just want to write some metal stuff." And then he DM'd me and he's like, "Yo, if you write a song, like I'll scream over it." And I was like, "All right, cool, let's do it." And so I already had a song that was mostly done. I sent it to him. He's like, "Fuck yeah, dude, I love this. Like, let's do it. Let's record some stuff." So he went and recorded some vocals with a friend of his. And we put the song out in July last year. We just put it out under his name because we just thought it was going to be like a one-off thing.
Got it. Okay.
And then it ended up charting first. It was the number one slot on the iTunes metal chart.
I know. That's what I saw. I was like, where the fuck did this thing come from? How do I not know about it?
Yeah, exactly. It just charted number one, and we were like, holy shit. Like, all right, well, this is obviously going pretty well, so let's do some more stuff. We both had fun doing it. Like I said, I used to play metal bands in high school and stuff. Right. That's how I started playing, and it's been so long since I played anything like that it was just really fun for me to just, like, just write stupid breakdowns and things like that, you know?
Yeah. Yep, I do. I know more than you know.
Exactly. You can relate. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, I've always listened to metal and stuff like that. So it was just really fun to, like, dive back into that sort of thing. And so when it hit number one, we were like, well, shit, you know, let's keep this going. So I ended up writing an EP of 6 songs. That we tracked. I tracked everything. We tracked vocals together, and then I sent it to Drew Folk to mix and master.
I was just at Drew's yesterday.
Nice. Yeah. So Drew mixed and mastered that for us, and we have 6 songs that we're going to be putting out over the course of, you know, we're going to spread it out. We're going to put them out as singles
for now,
just to keep the content going. And we were supposed to shoot music videos for all the songs, but then it, like, 3 days before we were supposed to shoot music videos, quarantine started. Mm-hmm. So everything got canceled on us, which sucked.
Yeah.
Yep.
So is that kind of the plan right now, is just to keep making content for it? And then are you going to play out with members or some stuff eventually? Or is it really just kind of a studio thing for now?
For now, I mean, for everybody, it's a studio thing now. We talked about it. We would consider doing some shows. We were kind of hoping, our original timeline was we would put a couple songs out and then play some shows this summer. Just that was like, putting an EP out, here's what we're doing, let's play a few shows. And obviously, you know, coronavirus and all that. So. We would like to play shows someday. I think it would be fun. We'll just hire some musicians to play the bass and drums and whatever.
Yeah. I would love to see it live, and especially now that we're like neighbors, I'm sure we can. So that'd be fun, man. Well, look, I thank you for like walking me through the history of everything, but I want to, I do the same thing at the end of every episode. I'm looking for any tour stories you have that stick out. It can involve anyone you want. It can be about anyone, but like uncensored versions, you know, like give me something juicy.
Well, there's one time where I thought we were going to die.
I like those. Let's do that.
There's been a couple, actually. There's been a couple stories where I thought I was going to die. So I'll start with a short one. This is when we were trophy wives still. There was a day that an ice storm hit North Carolina, and we were like driving to our next gig, and we were on some back road going 25 miles an hour. But like I said, it was an ice storm, so there was just a sheet of like half an inch of ice on everything. So we were just going really, really slow. We were like probably, I think we were a few miles from where we were staying. We were staying with one of our members' family in North Carolina. And we were just going up this hill. And I remember my buddy is driving, and he's like, all of a sudden, he's just like, guys, hold on. And we're just like, what? And so we all just hold on, and he just loses control of the van. We end up like spinning out, and the trailer like smacked into the back of the van and just made us spin. And like we ended up almost going off the road and everything. And he just like pulled off the side into a parking lot. And we're just like, is everybody good? Everybody good? And like nothing bad happened. We had like a dent in the bumper from the trailer jackknifing, but other than that, it was pretty good.
That's nuts. That stuff was so scary. I know people that have just quit bands on the spot because of experiences like that.
Yeah. And then there was another time we were in Cleveland. So this is another time I thought we were going to die. And we were in Cleveland. We were with another band. We went to this place called Barrio, which is like a pretty famous like Mexican restaurant out there. And it was probably like 1 a.m. We had parked the vans in like a public parking area where, you know, you can just like pay to park and leave your car. So we ended up walking back there, and we were just chilling in the parking lot. So we met some people like at the show that night that took us to Barrio. So it was like two bands and like five other people.
Uh-huh.
And so we go back to the parking lot, and we had some beers in the trunk. So we were just like chilling. We had nowhere to go. So we were just chilling in the parking lot, drinking some beers and stuff. And this car comes flying into the parking lot, and these two dudes just get out of the back. There's one lady driving. And they get out of the back, and you could tell they were just fucked up. I don't know what they were fucked up on. It was like meth or coke or something, because they were just amped. Okay. And they come over to us, and they just start being all sorts of sketchy. And like one of the girls that was with us noticed that one of them had a gun in his waistband.
Oh my God.
And yeah, dude. So and she's like all like, she runs like security at like the mall. So she's like licensed to carry and stuff, and has like a gun in the trunk of her car too, that she's like, oh shit, he has a gun. And she's like, and like the dude's like trying to like put his arm around her and stuff. And yeah, it was just all sorts of sketchy. And so we were just like slowly trying to like back away. Yeah. We managed to get some of the girls we were with, managed to get in their car and drive off. But then like we all got in our vans, and like one of the dudes, I remember sitting in the van, I was in the passenger seat, and one of the dudes stood right in front of our van and like to keep us from moving. And the other dude is starting to bang on the driver's side window, and he's like trying to get us to roll down the window so he can like still talk to us and stuff. And we're just like, fuck no. Like the dude that was banging on the window is the guy with the gun. And we're just like, and they were like trying to race, like they were trying to bait us into saying like racist things and stuff. It was just bad vibes all around.
So they were just trying to cause some shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what was going on through their mind, but they were all fucked up trying. They were looking for trouble. And, you know, we just did everything we could to just de-escalate until we managed to get into the van. But then they still wouldn't let us leave. I don't even remember how we ended up getting out of there. But like, you know, it just...
That's crazy.
At some point, they moved, and we were able to drive off, but it was still, like, yeah.
We had an experience like that one time where we were in a parking lot of, like, a fast food place. This was with Venetia Fair back in the day. Actually, I think it was on the tour that we did with you guys, but it was, like, you know, we weren't with you or whatever, and this dude came up to the car and thought we were his drug dealer.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, dude, what makes you think we're your drug dealer? We're in a 15-passenger van with eight people and a huge trailer attached to it. Like, that's not very inconspicuous. And he was like, dude, I know you have it. Just give it. Like, just give it over. Like, come on. And I was like, what? Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as scary as yours, but wild, the people you meet.
It was just... Dude, it was the fact that he like stood. One of the dudes stood in front of the van, so we couldn't drive off, and the other guy was just banging on the driver's.
Yeah, that's fucked.
We
that's like scary.
Yeah, we were just like, "Fuck this! We gotta get out of here."
Were you at Walmart?
No, we were just at like a public parking lot.
I feel like that stuff happens at Walmart parking lots a lot.
I wouldn't have been surprised.
And the reason I say that is not because it's Walmart. It's just because every band goes to Walmart parking lots.
Yep.
Yeah, we've been woken up many times at Walmart parking lots.
Funny enough, I still use a tip that you guys showed us back when we were on tour together, where you can like switch out the Domino's app and just apply random coupons different things. Dude, I remember that night we got shitload of pizza for like half the price.
Yeah,
Like we managed to apply these random coupons.
Does it
to
still
it.
Work?
Some of that stuff still works.
You're kidding me.
I just try random coupons all the time.
What was it?
Then,
I think it was like that $5 medium pizza thing that they have, right?
And for some reason, you're only
supposed to be able to add like two toppings, but we figured out a way to add like infinite toppings for still $5 or something.
Yeah, something like that. Like you can find a coupon and still just do whatever the fuck you wanted to the pizza, and it would just like still only $5.
Yeah, tour tricks. Did you guys ever do like the free Chipotle or anything?
We've done that a couple times. We actually got lucky. We got Feed the Beat Taco Bell one tour.
That's the best.
That was clutch. They gave us like $500 for Taco Bell.
Yeah. Do you still like Taco Bell?
Dude, I still have some of the gift cards. I'm not gonna lie, I still probably have like $50 in Taco Bell gift cards sitting around.
Yeah. I wonder how much Taco Bell the average person on tour has eaten.
Oh, dude. Well, the thing is, it's so cheap and like it has options for everybody. So if you're like vegetarian, you can make it work.
I know. I mean, I still eat it because I can make stuff vegan there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's just like it's something that just works for everybody. It's really cheap and it's quick. So
I'm trying to think real quick before I let you go, because we toured together at the end of Venetia Fair. Right?
Yeah.
Like there was nothing really going on with us. We were kind of dying down, and I think we had just kind of lost a lot of our enthusiasm for it. So I wish that we had toured together before then, but did we fuck with you guys at all? Because like that was our thing. Like we used to love messing with bands that we were touring with.
Not really. I mean,
that sucks. That sucks.
I have a story from that tour that I don't want to get into because it involves nudity and helicopters.
Just do it.
I just remember it was the last day we played. We played some random hall. I think it was in Michigan or something.
Wasn't it like in a school? Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. It was in a school. It was on like the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania.
I think it was Ohio. I think you're right. That was the last night of tour. So I just remember we like me and all the guys with trophy eyes. We had found like a bathroom, and we were like, "All right, we're just gonna drive home after this." So everybody like clean up, get ready for like a long ass drive. And so we were doing the baby wipe showers in the bathroom, and then somehow, it just evolved into taking a slow-mo video of somebody doing a helicopter. Which I don't know where that video ended up, but
wait, was that in your band?
Yeah.
I'm like blown away that wasn't Chuck.
I mean, I think it started because one of you guys like came around the corner and saw a bunch of us naked or something, and then it just like devolved.
Did we do a tour photo?
Yeah, we did. And yeah, Shark had his dick out.
I knew it. Yeah, I know. We should probably cut that out. We'll see. All right, dude. Well, thank you for coming on. It's been awesome talking to you, and I'm sure we're going to talk a lot more.
Man, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And best of luck with both things. I feel like you're all of my feeds are just taking up by things that you're releasing now. So congrats on that.
Well, that's cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely turning into one of my more prolific friends on Instagram.
So. Well, thanks. I'm planning on doing both for now. It's been really fun because the metal thing is just me and Frank. So I just record all the music. He puts vocals over it and we call it a day, which has been really cool. And then obviously, make that's awesome because we have a lot of opportunity, and it's been really cool to see our fans really enjoy the new single and our new singer and our new lineup. So, it's been really awesome. I really appreciate all you guys sticking with us.
Yeah. And is there anywhere where people can check out your stuff? Do you want to shout out all that stuff?
Yeah. If you want to follow either band, Makeout, is at Makeout Official on everything. And then Bantha Void is at Bantha Void Band on everything. So, and you can follow me on Makeout Tyler.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, dude. Let's talk soon. Stay safe.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. All right, dude. I'll talk to you later. All right.
All right. See you, Jeff.
All right. See ya.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.